how you'll handle your retirement and how your agency will handle it depends where you're retiring from. The Housing and Urban Development Department, for example, is the first major agency to offer a phased retirement program, but the Social Security Administration is opting out of the program altogether. You can read the details of that at federalnewsradio.com. Tammy Flanagan is Senior Benefits Director at the National Institute of Transition Planning and hosting a quiz that will help you decide whether you're ready to retire or not. Now, Tammy, I'm terrible at quizzes, but I'm going to take this anyway, and you can tell me if you think my answers are good or not, okay?
Well, I think you've worked with federal employees long enough now, Francis, that you should pass it with flying colors.
Well, that's so, a lot of pressure.
That's yet to be found out, so I'm ready for you.
That's a lot of pressure. All right, first question, and we have a link to this quiz, by the way. Anybody can take it, and there's a link to it at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth-gov-execs hosting it. The first question is, which of the following best characterizes your view of retirement? I'll leave when I'm fed up with my job. I'll retire when I've met the age and service requirements. I will downsize my life and plan my retirement activities within the amount of income I've been able to accumulate. I'm planning to retire when I have enough retirement income to replace at least 70% of my federal salary, or I'll retire when I'm both financially prepared and mentally ready for this transition and have retirement goals in place. That last one sounds like it's the most logical one.
Exactly, but you're supposed to answer honestly.
I did answer honestly. That's that because I think I have something in common with a lot of federal employees, which is what we learned when we looked at why people aren't retiring, and that is I like my job. And so I don't feel pressured to get out because I don't like it, and I'm still working toward meeting the financial goals that I want to put in place.
But the reality is, Francis, every one of those have been reasons people have given me. So surprisingly, some people, even though they know the common sense right answer, they still answer the first one.
The second question is, when you retire, you have the option of choosing what kind of benefit you want to receive. Which of the following best describes my understanding of the situation? I didn't know I needed to make this choice when I retire. I've heard about these options, but don't know what they mean. I understand the basic difference between choosing an annuity payable only during my lifetime and one that will be reduced to provide income for someone else. I understand the full cost and value of my options. If I'm married, I've discussed possible survivor annuity. If I'm single, I've considered whether anybody else will be dependent on me financially. The crux of this question is somebody going to take an annuity that only he or she receives during his lifetime, or are they willing to take a little less so that somebody else can get an annuity after that person's no longer here? Am I understanding the question correctly?
That's absolutely correct.
Okay, then I'll answer, I understand the full cost and value of my options.
Very good.
Yay, that's two for me. Yay. All right, third one. Once you leave federal service, you'll have access to the funds in your thrift savings plan account. Which of the following best describes your situation? The first choice, this is something I really don't understand. Number two, I know the TSP can provide a source of income to supplement my retirement benefit. Number three, I have an idea of the withdrawal options available and I've begun to explore them. Number four, I've evaluated the tax, estate planning, and financial planning issues to determine the best time and rate for withdrawing TSP funds. I would have to answer honestly by saying number three, I have an idea of the withdrawal options. I'm applying this to my personal retirement savings account, and I've begun to explore them, but I can't honestly say that the best answer, which is probably number four, is mine.
Well, and Francis, at your youthful age, I think that's the correct answer for you, so I'll give you an A+.
Okay, I'm still going to take a no on that one because I think number four, the fourth response is probably the best one, but I didn't do it.
You have a little more homework.
Yes, I'll do. I'll take that under advisement. Okay, fourth question. When it comes to records of your full federal employment, which of the following applies to you? Now, again, I'm going to go at this one as an outsider with my understanding of how it would work if I worked in the government.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know such records were important in calculating my retirement benefit. That's number one. Number two, I trust my agency and OPM to gather all the appropriate records. Number three, I know how to access my personnel records, and I understand that I can keep copies of these records. Number four, I've maintained all of the employee copies of the records in my official personnel folder. Again, I think I know which one's the right answer here,
Yep. But
I bet if I were a typical federal employee, I would probably say number three, I know how to access my records, but I'm not really sure what I should keep and for how long.
Yeah, that number four, as you said, is the correct answer, but the majority of people pick number two, that they think the agency's responsible. Actually, it's the employee responsible to make sure everything's there, because who really cares besides you,
right,
if everything's together?
You do you. You know yourself best, so you're exactly right about that one. All right, number five, with regard to the potential need for long-term care in retirement, which of the following best describes your situation? Number one, I don't understand the difference between long-term care insurance and disability insurance. Number two, pretty sure my health insurance and Medicare will take care of my needs, or my family will take care of me. Number three, I purchased a long-term care insurance policy, but I couldn't tell you how much it's worth. Number four, in addition to purchasing and understanding long-term care insurance, I've made a plan for my potential future needs. And number five, I have sufficient assets or long-term care insurance so that if I need personal care and in the future, I'll be taken care of with dignity and adequate attention. I know you and your honesty. All right. I know the right answer, and my honest answer is number three. I purchased a policy, but I couldn't tell you how much it's worth and all the details about it.
And you're not alone.
Yeah, that's not good. And that's not what the understanding of long-term care insurance should be, is it?
No, but the purpose of this is to point out where you need to do some homework. So that would be another place I would put on your to-do list.
Okay, I'll get right on that one as well. Question six, Social Security retirement benefits are payable as young as 62 or as late as 70. Which of the following statements best describes your plans for applying for Social Security? Number one, what Social Security? It's already broke and there won't be any for me to claim. I know that's not the right answer. Number two, a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. I'm going to get the money while the getting's good, which I assume to mean that this person who would answer in that way intends to apply at 62 and start getting it right away. Three, without applying immediately for my Social Security benefit, I wouldn't be able to afford to retire. Number four, I'm in good health. And I have enough income that I don't need my retirement benefit until 70. And number five, I'm entitled to my own as well as a spousal Social Security benefit. I plan to explore strategies that will maximize my Social Security retirement benefits. I would say, well, my intention is to develop enough savings and other plans that I don't have to apply until age 70, because I saw the difference that it made for someone in my family who started to take a benefit at age 62. So I've kind of seen from that side of the fence why delaying as long as possible is beneficial.
Yeah, in the long run, I have to agree with you. And I'd say either number four, yeah, you're correct. Four or five would be great answer, because they both indicate that you've done some homework and you understand it.
I'm detecting a theme here, that homework and understanding goes a long way, even if the right answer isn't the one that I wind up choosing.
Right.
Which of the following best describes your understanding of Medicare's role in your future? Oh, boy. Because I'm a little weak right here. Number one, I already have health insurance under FEHBP or TRICARE, so I don't need to enroll in Medicare. Number two, I understand I'll be eligible for Medicare at 65, and I know I'll be able to keep my current FEHBP or TRICARE, but I don't understand how these benefits will work together. I have some idea of how the various benefits work together, but feel like I should discuss this further with friends and coworkers. And number four, at age 65, I'll evaluate all my insurance options, both financially and medically, in order to make a decision that'll provide me with the most comprehensive benefits I can afford. My guess, I'm going to have to guess at this one because I'm really weak on this one. But I'm going to guess that you probably think it's a bad idea to just go talk about this stuff with the people at the office, because they probably don't have much better idea than I do. So I'm going to eliminate number three, and I'm going to have to confess about that I'm probably at number two. I have an idea about how this stuff works, but I don't understand how they all work together.
Yeah, and again, based on the fact that you're not retiring soon, I'd have to give you a correct for that one. But as people get closer to 65, they really do need to get a better understanding of it. So Depends on your age. I think I can give you a correct one anywhere along that line.
Wow. Okay. Well, I'm not sure I deserve that one, but I'm not going to turn it down.
Well, because by the time many people turn 65, if you're only 45 right now or 35, as you are, Francis.
I wish.
Yeah. So at those ages, you're so far from needing it or qualifying for it that it's likely to change by the time you get there. So don't worry about this one too much early in your career. But if you're close to 65, get on it.
I'm not going to give you the number, but I got an AARP application in the mail a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, hint, hint.
Yeah, exactly. Here's number 8. Which of the following best describes your understanding of taxes and retirement? 1, do you have to pay taxes on retirement income? I thought once you retired, you didn't have to pay taxes anymore. Number 2, I realize some of my retirement income will be taxable, but I have no idea how to compute how much I'll have left. Number 3, I know that when I'm no longer working, I'll no longer have to pay Medicare or Social Security. Number 4, I have full knowledge of the above information and have made plans to minimize taxes in retirement by evaluating my retirement savings withdrawal options. Again, I know number 4 is the best answer, but I have to take number 3 if I'm being honest. Mm-hmm. I know a little bit about what's going on here, but I haven't dug into it enough to be able to know what this all looks like holistically.
I would say this is one of the most important questions, though, that is overlooked by so many people because we really don't understand the fact that we still pay taxes in retirement. And we still pay pretty close to the same taxes. They're just different. So something that does require a little bit more homework by many, many people.
Which I haven't done. So I get one of those.
Darn.
It happens. I'm used to it. Number 9, your view of potential future changes to your retirement is closest to which of the following statements? Number 1, I fear that changes in retirement benefits will mean I won't have enough income in retirement. Number 2, once I retire, my benefits will no longer be subject to any changes, so I plan to retire before Congress can make any more changes. Number 3, I know Congress can make changes, but I'm not sure if they'll have any effect on me after I've retired. And number 4, I understand my retirement will be computed based on the laws in effect when I retire. But I'm aware there could be changes to cost of living adjustments and health insurance benefits. That's the winner right there. Uh-huh. I mean, the idea that Congress can change whatever they want, whenever they want, is one of the first things that I learned when I started covering Congress, Tammy.
Yeah, and surprisingly, a lot of people don't realize that. But you're right. Every one of those answers has an element of truth, but that fourth one is really the accurate answer. Correct.
The last question, with respect to specific TSP withdrawal options, which of the following best describes your knowledge? And again, I'll think about this through my retirement plan, which is very similar to the TSP, except I pay a lot more in fees, which I don't care for. I think there's an age when you must begin withdrawing funds from the TSP. Number 2, there are 3 basic withdrawal options: cash payments, monthly payments, and annuities. Number 3, after separation, I can choose a one-time partial distribution to transfer some of my account balance from the TSP to an individual retirement arrangement. When I take full distribution, I can choose between cash payment, monthly payments, and a life annuity. Number 4, I understand everything above, and in addition, I can explain the advantages and disadvantages of each withdrawal option. Well, I'm a financial geek. I'm the one that does all that stuff in our home. And in addition, I have the benefit of talking to you and to Kim Weaver all the time from the Thrift Savings Plan. So I can honestly choose number 4, but I bet there are a lot of people that aren't in that situation.
That's true. And again, this whole point of this quiz was to point out where your own personal weakness. So it's not to compare how you did against the next guy, but it's to compare how you're doing against your own retirement goals. So hope it was helpful to some of the people who were listening to your honest answers, Francis.
I hope so, too. And I'm going to give myself one of these for the last one. And
absolutely.
And according to the number of dings that I marked down, I got 6 out of 10.
So, that's not bad for someone as young as you are.
Yeah, the crowd seems to be impressed by that. Well,
round
6
of
out
applause.
Thank you. 6 out of 10 for somebody who's on the shorter side of the 50-year-old mark, is that good, bad, or indifferent, do you think, Tammy?
I'd say you're right on track, because some of the things you didn't do so well and you really don't need to worry about just yet, but you know that they're coming down the pike. So I would have to give you an A+, despite the fact you missed 4.
Wow. I think you might be grading me on a curve.
Yeah, well, I only have 1 student, so that's easy to do.
Tammy, thanks a lot for pointing me to this quiz and for playing along with me. I appreciate it very much.
Thanks for playing it out.